Go. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This is where every day you and I, we get together, we have a little bit of coffee, we get into God's Word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2023, Lord willing, we'll make it from Genesis to Leviticus. Today we've got a shorter passage than yesterday. Yesterday we did two chapters. Today, not so much. We're just going to do Genesis 46. Let's see, Genesis 46 verses 1 through 27. Well, why don't we have some coffee? We'll pray. And we'll jump into God's Word. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for what a blessing it is to sit at your feet and hear your Word. Lord, this is a true story, a story of redemption. And so, Lord, we pray that you would teach us what we ought to learn from this. We need your Spirit to help us in this way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, just in case I forget to say it later, I don't want to do that. This is going to be the last time we do Coffee and Devotions for 2 weeks. So I'm going to take a little break and take my family out, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. It's not because I'm not going to be reading my Bible. I hope that you'll keep reading your Bible as well. But we're going to take 2 weeks, so I'll be back in a couple weeks. Let's go ahead and jump in. Genesis chapter 46. Verses 1 through 27. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. Then God spoke to Israel in a vision of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here I am." So he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will put his hand on your eyes." Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones, and their wives in the carts which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. So they took their livestock and their goods which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and went to Egypt, Jacob and all his descendants with him, his sons and his sons' sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. Now these were the names of the children of Israel, Jacob and his sons who went to Egypt. Reuben was Jacob's firstborn. The sons of Reuben were Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shual, the sons of a Canaanite woman. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Judah were Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. The sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. The sons of Issachar were Tola, Puva, Job, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun were Sered, Elon, and Jahalel. These were the sons of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob in Padan Aram, with his daughter Dinah. All the persons, his sons, and his daughters were 33. The sons of Gad were Ziphon, Haggai, Suni, Esbon, Eri, Arodi, and Areli. The sons of Asher were Jimna, Ashua, Isi, Beria, and Sarah, their sister. And the sons of Beriah were Heber and Machiel. These were the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah his daughter. And these she bore to Jacob, 16 persons. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, were Joseph and Benjamin. And to Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him, The sons of Benjamin were Bela, Becher, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Mupim, Hupim, and Ard. These were the sons of Rachel, whom she bore to Jacob. 14 persons in all. The son of Dan was Hashim. The sons of Naphtali were Jahzeel, Guni, Jezer, and Chilim. These were the sons of Bilhah, whom Laban gave to Rachel his daughter, and she bore these to Jacob, 7 persons in all. All the persons who went with Jacob to Egypt, who came from his body besides Jacob's sons' wives, were 66 persons in all. And the sons of Joseph who were born to him in Egypt were 2 persons. All the persons of the house of Jacob who went to Egypt were 70. Well, we've read a whole lot of genealogy in that passage, but we need to ask ourselves, A, what's this about? Right? What's it about? Why is it in the Bible? B, what's the best verse to summarize this section? And C, what are we called to do in response to this? Right? This is not like the New Testament epistles where it clearly says how this changes our lives. So what does it teach us about Christ and our calling to walk as Christians? Well, first, what's this about? Jacob has found out that Joseph is alive, and he goes, and notice the first thing he does. He doesn't race down to Egypt right away, but Jacob stops. Right? He came to Beersheba. The last time this was mentioned was in Genesis chapter 21. And he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. He stops and he makes an offering. I'm not sure if this is a thank offering or peace offering or sin offering. I don't know what type of offering this is. Those categories don't come up until next chapter when we're in the book of Exodus. But he makes an offering, and there God appears to him. God tells him, reiterates, repromises to him what he had already said in his covenant. Verse 3. And this is, I'm just going to say, I have verse 3 and 4 underlined in my Bible. I think this is the heart of what's going on. I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. This is getting back at the covenant promises. It takes us all the way back to Genesis 12 and 15. It takes us back to God promising Abraham to make him into a great nation. Those promises were given over to Isaac. And then it was given to Jacob. And now it's through Jacob that this line is going to continue. And God is re-promising him, telling him again, I am going to make you into a great nation. You are going to get this land, but it is going to be yours. I am not forsaking you. I am still your God. And you're going to go down to Egypt. And you're going to see Joseph, your son, with your own eyes. And when you die, he's the one who's going to close your eyes. This is what God is doing here. And the rest of what we see, verses 5 down to verse 27, are all... Pardon me. Nothing like doing things live. You can't edit that out. I'm so sorry. I hope that wasn't too loud for you. What we see in verses 5 down through verse 27 is God keeping that promise. One guy is now the father of 70 people. Right? He's no longer just one man. Remember when he had left to go to his family, to go find a wife, and it was just him, a lone bachelor. And he was in a foreign land, and he's brought back to Canaan. And there, it's he still doesn't own the land. He still doesn't inherit it. Is the promise true? And now as he's having to go to Egypt because of the famine, God says, the promise is still true. And now the census is taken of his family. And he's got kids and he's got grandkids. He's got sons and he's got daughters. He's got grandsons and he's got granddaughters. And all of them are being taken down to Egypt to be cared for by his son, who's now the second in command in Egypt. But the promise isn't to stay in Egypt. The promise is to come back. The promise is that he's going to be made into a great nation. It's going to take hundreds of years for the Lord to unravel this plan, to bring it to completion, but it's going to happen. But they have to go down to Egypt first. And so, what's the best verse to summarize this? Well, I've already said verses 3 and 4. I've got that underlined in my Bible. You can disagree, let me know. Maybe there's a specific son you think that you should underline. Maybe you want to underline the sons of Judah. And you're a studious person, and you want to find out, okay, where is it that Jesus comes from? Well, go ahead and look at the son Judah and his son for that. But what are we called to do in response to this? You know, God works out his plan. And sometimes it takes a long, long, long time. We need to be patient. I know it's a hard thing for us humans to do, but we need to be patient. We tell our kids, right, when we talk to them about patience, we say, guys, what is patience? And our definition of it at home is be happy while you wait. Maybe we might change that to be content while you wait. Or maybe you could change that in your own life as you are waiting for whatever God's doing in your life to be holy while you wait. Be godly while you wait. I don't know. Tell me in the comments, how would you change this? How would you say patience is in light of God's providence? But we need to have patience in light of God's promises and providence. But also, I think we can point out, the story is about Jacob, right? It's primarily about God. All of Scripture is primarily about God. But Jacob does display here faith. He has not given up on the Lord. Even though he is old and now well advanced in years, he goes to Beersheba and he still remembers the Lord. He still trusts him. Do you? Maybe some of you are getting into your senior years. Your hair is turning gray and white. Do you still trust his promises? Do you still offer to him the sacrifice of praise? Do you still go to him? And do you still trust in his promises? Patient with his providence? I think this is what we're called to do. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would teach us to be patient. Teach us, Lord, to trust in your providence and in your promises. Lord, give us faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, may the Lord walk with you and give you a patient and trusting heart as you walk through your life, knowing that you're the great shepherd of the sheep is guiding you and leading you. May you have the perfect peace that comes with Jesus Christ. And I'll catch you in a couple weeks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.